It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as mostly always
here, Steven Brown.
It is, it's a crazy, crazy day.
I hate today.
Do you?
I don't hate it because it's Halloween.
It is Halloween.
This one we're recording a little early, folks.
Yeah, it's just
been a weird day.
Yeah, to give you an impression of where things are in Chicago, today is Halloween. It's a Friday night Halloween.
First Friday night Halloween in like 7 years.
Well, that's the way the calendar works.
Yeah.
But the days of the week shift around. There's only 7 days in a week.
Supposed to be a good day.
Supposed to be a good day. In Chicago, it's fucking snowing.
Yeah.
It's been snowing like all day.
Pretty much. And I hate snow, and I hate the cold.
Yeah. And, why do you live here?
I ask myself that every time snow falls.
Because then it's snowing and cold a lot in Chicago.
Yeah, for like 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
It starts now, and for those of you lucky enough to not live in Chicago, it'll end sometime in April.
Yeah. So basically, it's the entire gestation period of a human being is winter.
Yeah.
If you're a woman and got impregnated the first day of winter, you would give birth when the sun shows.
In spring, the next time we see the sun. I'm going to be hibernating for the rest of the year.
That's fine. Why don't you hibernate here, and I will just wake you up for the podcast.
I'll just do the podcast.
It's a very warm
stick
room.
Stick a microphone in the
There's
in
a
the
fireplace in this
I'll
room.
I'll sit
yeah.
next to that. You just put a microphone next to it.
I love that idea. I just think
I'll
I should do it, too.
Wake up and say things, and then go back to sleep.
Now, things like, where am I?
Where am I? What's the topic today?
What's going on?
I haven't been on the internet in 6 weeks.
Well, the topic today is huge. If you guys recall, 2 weeks ago, horror month is blown to hell, number one.
Yeah, we were going to do a whole month of horror, and we didn't.
We did it last year.
We did, but yeah, and we didn't do any this year.
No, because 2 weeks ago, DC announced 10 movies. The weekend of New York Comic Con.
Yes, 10 movies up until 2020, I believe.
2020, yep. And so this week, Marvel announced 11.
Yeah, so between just those two companies, not including all the idiots over at Fox and Sony and any other idiot that tries to make a superhero film, there's over 20 movies coming out just between DC and Marvel in the next 5 years.
Yeah. Which I never thought I would live to see this. Did you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I saw Spider-Man, like, I was, when did that come out? 2001?
2002.
So I was a sophomore, and, I thought as soon as I saw Spider-Man and how well it had done, I was like, oh, they're gonna do everything.
Yeah,
but I didn't have any idea before that.
You think they do this much this fast? I mean, I was on the opposite spectrum.
But it's not, though. This is like, a long time later.
Oh, if you hear me rustling, we have a giant bag of Halloween candy.
Oh, yeah, it's Halloween. So.
That nobody came up to pick up for trick-or-treating because it was fucking snowing.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of crunching and chewing and...
So we don't need the caffeine of the coffee because we're going to be eating candy.
Yeah, we're just going to load up on sugar. Yeah, I guess my biggest thing with the Marvel announcement...
Well, let's say which they are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I'm not sure of the entire order, but we knew next year is Avengers 2.
Yes.
Which, the trailer came out this week. That's
the
another big news.
Week, yeah.
Yeah. And Ant-Man.
Yep.
And then next week, we talked about this last time. Captain America 3 will be Civil War with Iron Man.
And that's right after Avengers 2.
Right. That's going to be the fall of Avengers 2. And then Thor 3, which will finish the Thor trilogy, which is called Ragnarok.
Yep.
Which is, if you know your Norse mythology, it's not good.
No.
Now, if you're
so
a Norse
someone's
god.
Someone's going to die.
Not great for you. And then, is it Black Panther next?
I'm not sure the order, but Black Panther was announced.
Ms. Marvel was announced.
Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, they said.
Right.
And Inhumans.
Inhumans is the last.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which we all knew was a given.
Yeah.
And then... And Avengers... 3 and 4.
Well, Avengers will be 3 split into two movies.
Yeah, as you called it last time, the hobbiting of the Avengers.
They're hobbiting the Avengers, yeah. In the best way possible.
Well, this should be your greatest week ever.
Yeah, well, the greatest week ever is when those movies come out. That'll be the greatest week ever.
But they're not all coming out the same week. They're coming out several weeks over several years.
And those weeks will all be the greatest weeks of my life. Yeah, everything. The big difference, me and John talked about this earlier today, that I noticed is DC made the announcement, and it was made by a bunch of guys we don't know the name of, and it was just kind of like a press release, I guess. And then Marvel's like, well, we have this big announcement to make. Let's throw a fucking party.
And they had Kevin Feige, who we know, on a big stage.
Yeah, a lot of people know him now. Like, my parents know who that is.
Right, he's on every DVD.
Yeah, he's on all the DVDs. He does all the press interviews. And then they had, like, Robert Downey Jr. come out, and they introduced the guy who's going to play Black Panther and a couple of things.
And they're really, really super close to Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is another movie. That's what we missed.
Yeah, that's the other one.
I think because he wasn't there, he would have walked out had the deal been finalized. But honestly, I think they're just figuring out the money.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at this point, how many movies he's going to sign on for, what he's going to do.
Right, that's a big thing, because it's not just Doctor Strange. Maybe he's in Avengers 3 and Avengers 4.
I'd imagine they'll make him an Avenger. My initial reaction, obviously, was besides the awesome...
pure unbridled joy.
This is awesome. Is that, you know, they had him and Hod about doing a Black Panther movie, and they had him and Hod about doing a Captain Marvel movie for the last... pretty much since Avengers came out.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard any casting things about either of them. No rumors. Not like Doctor Strange. We heard all these different rumors, all these different actors up for the part. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Marvel says, oh, we're going to do Black Panther for sure. It's confirmed. And here's the actor that's playing him, the guy from the Jackie Robinson movie.
Is that who that is? Because I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, that's what
anybody.
Stu told me. Okay. So I was going to look it up.
Stu's a big Jackie Robinson aficionado.
Yeah, totally. And so my thought is, all right, if they already know who Black Panther is and they already cast an actor and we didn't know about it this whole time, then he's in Avengers 2.
Well, Avengers 2 has finished shooting.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I saw an interview this week that Joss Whedon is editing now.
Yeah.
So I'm actually thinking the opposite. I'm thinking if he was on set in Avengers 2, that would have leaked.
I don't think so.
I think he's in Avengers 3, definitely.
We should make a wager.
Well, it's being recorded, lots of people we don't know are hearing it.
Yes,
so there's many people that hold you to task. We should wager something whether or not he's, because Avengers 2 is going to have Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, and Vision.
Yeah,
so I think Black Panther. Is there room for Black Panther?
There's room.
Well, you think there's room for it? You think there's room for Star Fox and Photon?
Yes, there. Maybe not in this movie, but eventually. Star Fox, woo! And also, I think, what's his name? What's that idiot? I mean, he's not an idiot. Andy Serkis? He's in the trailer?
Andy Serkis is in the trailer, looking kind of like Claw?
Yeah, he's definitely going to be Claw, because they're going to turn Claw into a sound monster. Like, he's
right.
A guy.
Well, that's what he is.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you hire the best motion capture guy on the planet to play an energy being?
That's a very good point. And to me, Claw is always a Fantastic Four character who's tied up with Fox, where they're making the worst movie you could possibly imagine.
Oh, that comes out next year. Did you know that? Next year.
Yeah, I like to forget about it. I might not go.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I might not even go for this podcast.
I'm going to go.
It'll
be a good... What a dumb movie.
I'll go if you go, and because that's the podcast.
There you go. We'll do a podcast.
But I think I'll be angry the entire time.
Yeah, that's right. That makes for good comedy.
But you're right. But Claw was the main villain of Black Panther.
That's why I think Panther and Claw are in this movie.
Huh.
This prediction. We'll just throw it out there.
All right.
But
the other big thing is Avengers 3 and 4, as you said, split into two, because it's going to be the Infinity Gauntlet. And it's called Avengers Infinity War, which... tells me, my prediction is that it is absolutely Avengers Guardians of the Galaxy team up.
Yeah.
Because they've announced Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but no Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Right.
The money Guardians of the Galaxy made, that's trilogy money.
Yep.
So I'm thinking by splitting it into two movies, you're getting Avengers 3 and Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah. I think Guardians will still get a third film, but they will be in... They might not be in the first
part,
but I think they'll be in the second part at the very least.
Yeah, it'll be after the Infinity War. Well, that's the other thing is that we're looking at this as like 10 films in 5 years. This is the big climax to everything. But just because it's the end of Phase 3, that doesn't mean they're done. I mean, if these movies make money, there's more and more and more movies. There's a lot of rumors that they're trying to get Spider-Man back. I think we all believe if this Fantastic Four movie tanks, they'll get Fantastic Four back the way they got Daredevil back. We have all the Netflix series happening.
Yep.
I mean, there's plans beyond these.
Yeah, I figure they have to have a very vague idea at least of what is coming after Phase 3, if not everything fleshed out. But I do think it's interesting. It was the point I was going to make earlier. Is it's actually a really good thing that Marvel doesn't own the rights to Spider-Man or the X-Men or any Fantastic Four or any of that stuff, because those are the main Marvel movies. We would have never got all these other movies we're enjoying. We would have never, you would have never had a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, ever, if Marvel had the rights to Spider-Man, X-Men, and Fantastic Four, because they would just keep making their mainstream movies all the time. So because they didn't and had to kind of force themselves to look elsewhere for in their own company for different properties to adapt, that's the only reason we're getting a Doctor Strange movie and an Inhumans movie, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And to be fair, the X-Men movies have been really strong. Like,
yeah, they came back.
Yeah, Days of Future Past was good. First Class was good. I really like the Wolverine.
Yep.
Gets a little crazy. We talked about that when
there's
it came out.
There's a third Wolverine on the way?
Yeah, there is a third Wolverine. First is X-Men Apocalypse, and then third Wolverine. The Deadpool movie is happening.
The Gambit movie I heard with Channing Tatum got confirmed. He's ready to
really?
Do it.
I don't like Channing Tatum.
Gambit I don't mind as a character in the X-Men. But like even his own solo books, it's like, so what?
Yeah, but Channing Tatum's face doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, it's and I guess he's like, from
and
New
he's
Orleans.
Huge. He's so like the, yeah, but he's huge, and Gambit's like a
that's
lean
what I'm
guy.
It's like I think they just picked like, him because he's like,
Channing
oh, he's
Tatum,
an actor. He's from New Orleans.
Channing Tatum's Colossus. If yeah. he's any X-Man, he's Colossus.
Right. Yeah, he's not renowned for. And I'm sure the ladies like the guy, and I'm sure that's why he got cast. But he's not an actor.
Yeah, but the ladies like Hugh Jackman, but he's more closer to Wolverine than Channing Tatum is.
Again. Except for the 6 feet tall thing.
Yeah, I'll forgive that. Man can't be shorter.
That's true.
Unless they hobbit him.
Don't want to do.
Although
that.
We're using that verb for a different thing, so
right. So don't confuse the viewers, or the listeners.
That means we split him into three movies. That's how that works.
But yeah, it's a pretty huge announcement. It's pretty wild. I don't.
The internet went insane.
Well, yeah. Well, the other big thing was that Iron Man was going to be in Captain America 3 as a villain, and it's going to be called Civil War, which is kind of. I don't know how much I like the sound
I know,
of that.
We argued about this on the last show that we were both on. We argued about this a good long time.
Yeah.
And we're still on different sides of that argument.
Just like Captain America and Iron Man.
I'm Iron Man.
Another thing, they released more clips from Avengers. Now, because yes. I guess the trailer leaked early online.
This was really, really a classy move, was that we posted it, just like everyone else on the internet. It was on our Facebook page. The trailer for Avengers 2 leaked. It was phenomenal. I think we can both agree it was amazing.
It's a very, very good trailer.
Yeah, it gives you pretty much what you're hoping for. It's got huge sequences. We get to see the Hulkbuster Iron Man.
Yeah.
We are...
All the big set pieces you wanted to see, you saw with them holding on to stuff like the Vision we haven't seen. Which
right, you see Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, and there's a huge buildup of Ultron himself, which pays off really, really well. Well, the plan for that was that this trailer would air during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yes,
which, as we've talked about plenty of times, has gotten better as the ratings have gotten worse. So they're hoping... All right, everybody tunes in to watch the Avengers trailer. They realize, hey, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty good. Mockingbird's on it now. It's really interesting. I'm still enjoying it. And then they would stick around for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So the trailer leaks. And I feel like, going back to DC, they would probably lose their minds, sue people, shut things down.
Yeah.
Marvel sent out a tweet that just said, damn it, Hydra.
And I thought that was like... It's the difference, but and that's a big thing I was saying earlier. The difference between the two companies, DC's running it like, midterm elections are coming up. DC's running it like they're the Republicans, kind of out of touch with what the fans want.
Kind of talking down to the people
talking
that support
down to the
them.
People.
Yeah,
yeah, they've got a lot of crazy ideas. They do one thing and then say another thing, and then
they give you two flashes at the same time.
Right? Yeah. And then Marvel's doing it where it's just like, it's more progressive ideas.
It's more one-to-one.
Better ideas, Marvel's, yeah. They're listening to the fans, like what the people want to do.
And I know we cover this a lot, but it really makes me feel like the way Kevin Feige is running the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it was a lot the way Stan Lee was running the publishing company in the 60s. Yeah. It's like, hey, we're equals. Hey, I love these kind of stories, so I'm making them. You love these kind of stories, right, so you're reading them. We're kind of on equal footing.
And the executives, DC, just seems like they're like, what's going to make the most money?
Yeah, we don't know what you want, so here, you want that.
Right.
Oh, you didn't give it enough money. Well, then we're not going to give that to you anymore.
We're going to package it with Batman ears now.
Yeah, there was a huge sense of fun to it. So then people were worried, well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is gutted. You know, people aren't going to have a reason to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So what Marvel did, they sent out the Damn It Hydra tweet. They sent out a high-res version. So it was like, here's a really good version of the online trailer. And then during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it came as a complete surprise to me. I was watching it live. I'm like, well, here's the trailer again. I get to watch it on my TV. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Instead of just showing the trailer, they showed a whole scene.
Yep.
They showed like a scene of all of them hanging around. Like, the scene is basically every one of them tries to lift Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
And Thor's like laughing at him. War Machine's in it.
Yep.
Don Cheadle's in it.
And he's good.
Yep. Kobe Smulders is in it.
Yep.
Maria Hill is in it.
They're all just hanging out.
They're all just hanging out. And then it flows into what the trailer
is. Yeah, they kind of like lined it up so that it would start, you know, with the trailer, and they ran the exact same trailer.
I thought it was the classiest move they could have done. It's like, all right, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. Let's give you a better version of it. And our plan was to show it here. Our plan was to give you a peek at Avengers you wouldn't see anywhere else.
Yes.
We're still going to do that.
Right.
In fact, we're going to show you even more than we were originally going to show you.
Yeah. And I think that's what's really awesome because, you know, that scene is, you know, the trailer is really dark. The Avengers Age of Ultron trailer is a dark trailer. And there's nothing funny in it. And then they are like, all right. And it's a great trailer, though. But then they show that scene, and it's actually like a pretty sweet scene of them all just hanging out. Mm-hmm. And it's something where those characters are so fleshed out, and the actors are doing such a good job of portraying all the different characters, and they have a handle on everybody.
It's more than we've seen before, because Avengers 1 is all about them coming
together.
Not getting along. Really, the only time we ever see them just hang out, they're eating shawarma and nobody's talking.
Right.
And they're all exhausted.
Or the fight they get in with on the helicarrier where they're arguing. It's really the only scene where they're all on the same page.
They're never relaxed with each other until that last scene, and they don't get any dialogue.
And this is a nice scene to see, like, hey, this is them just hanging out. Like, what would they do when they're hanging out?
This is the beginning of an issue at Avengers Mansion.
Yes. And what's awesome about it is it's like Tony Stark immediately goes to, oh, I want to try to pick up Thor's hammer, because how does that work? Like, he just thinks like an engineer, and he sees something he doesn't understand, he tries to figure it out, you know? And I just thought it was a really sweet scene, and like I said, that alone on its own is just awesome. And it's nice to just see Marvel putting, like you said, in the 60s, what they do with the comics is the character first. You know, Spider-Man's not interesting. The reason Spider-Man's such a big deal is because Peter Parker. People love Peter Parker. People are interested in that character. They can identify with that character. No one can identify with a guy climbing up a side of a building and
who has
around.
No face.
Right. You can't identify with that. But, you know, it's Peter Parker that sells it. And I think that's something where when they were making these movies, that's why they're looking so hard to find a Doctor Strange, and why they look so hard to find a Black Panther. And it's like, they're not just grabbing any A-list name and throwing it with the movie, hoping it'll stick. They're thinking, all right, who's really good? Who's really talented? You know, who can we give these roles to? And they kind of take them and run with them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they always like aim a little quirky, a little outside, you know. Look at Doctor Strange. We started with rumors of Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
We end up with likely Benedict Cumberbatch. That's...
Yeah, I mean at this point, it's like 90%.
That's like you start with an A-lister who's known for being quirky.
Yep.
And then you get somebody who's actually really quirky.
Yes. And who's actually really talented.
Yep.
Nothing against Johnny Depp, but he always kind of plays these goofy characters. He doesn't ever really do serious roles ever. At all.
Not anymore, no.
Right. I mean, it was a younger man he was doing them, but not too much. Now he's playing these like goofy characters, which I'm sure is, you know, more fun for him. But then you watch Benedict Cumberbatch, and here's a guy who he's done the Hollywood blockbusters with like Star Trek and whatever else he's been in. And then he's done Sherlock, which is a drama with comedy, but he's playing like a really fleshed out character, you know? And I think that'll be kind of perfect for Doctor Strange, because you'll see him be this arrogant physician that's kind of a jerk. And then, you know, the injury with his hands, and then... You know, now he's got to kind of travel the world and be this, like, worldly guy, and then go into another dimension and, like, fight demons and shit. I mean, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, and the fact that it's coming out sooner than Avengers 3, how interesting is it going to
see... He'll be in it.
See Benedict Cumberbatch interact with Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth and Samuel L. Jackson and Don Cheadle, most likely. They're I think everybody agrees that they're just kind of doing it right. Not only are they doing more, which I thought it was really funny of, you know, DC does 10, so we'll do 11.
Yeah.
Even though they announced 9. But it's also, they just have so much more trust where DC at this point, we have the Nolan trilogy, which everybody loves. People have some issues with the third film, but people don't hate it.
Yeah.
But nobody feels like that's a part of this because DC's gone out of their way to go, yeah, we're not building on the Christopher Nolan. Instead, we're building from Man of Steel, which was a very flawed film no one seemed to like. And then they do something like The Flash, which people seem to like.
Yeah.
And then they go, yeah, but we're going to ignore that. We're going to keep going in this Man of Steel direction. So there's a lot of distrust there.
Yeah, like I said, a Man of Steel, we obviously had I had my problems with it. But it wasn't horrific. It's like we said it before on the show, is Man of Steel, we'll see if it's a really decent movie or a really terrible movie when the sequel comes out and what they do with how they left that movie. Because that movie really needed an extra scene or two to kind of deal with, hey, half the city's destroyed.
Yeah, I found it infuriating.
Yeah, and you know, rewatching Avengers the billion times I have, there's plenty of scenes because you can make the argument, oh, well, the New York gets just as destroyed as Smallville does and as Metropolis does in Superman. It's just like, yes, that's true, it does, but there's a dozen scenes of the Avengers helping people out, mm-hmm. getting them out of buildings, trying to
save
them.
Working with the police.
Right, they show the police helping and all that stuff. And
a character to the people on the street, which you don't get in Man of Steel. You just see, like, buildings collapse, which was that problem I had with Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my biggest problems with Phantom Menace is that there's so many, I mean, there's lots of problems with that movie, but there's so many scenes of them talking about the people of Naboo. You know, Queen of the Dog, my people are suffering, they are dying, like, oh, our people are dying. You never see a goddamn citizen of Naboo ever.
Yeah.
You don't see one.
You don't see anyone suffering.
You don't see a guy cough in that movie.
Right. No one's even a little bit ill.
No one's hungry.
Right.
You know, Man.
All of the people of Naboo.
And Man of Steel was the same way.
They suffer silently, John.
They're very noble.
Mm-hmm.
They're all regal. They're all like Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
But Man of Steel was the same way. We just see all this destruction. And we're like, we see
and then
people
you see,
running.
You see Perry White and stuff, and they do like a little couple street scenes like that. But it's characters we know, and they're trapped in rubble or whatever. But I mean, I've watched Man of Steel again, and even in the close-up scenes where like he's in the air fighting Zod, and like chunks of building are falling to the ground, you see a bunch of stuff like moving on the ground. And you're like, well, what is all that there? And I've paused the movie because I have a lot of free time at the store because you know, fucking, I'm there forever. Those are people running. You see flocks of people. So anyone who makes the argument, oh, the city was evacuated, can eat a dick, because that it wasn't. There's like millions of people dying in that movie.
CG people took the effort to put people in that city that would die.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, to get back to the point we were making here, is basically with Man of Steel 2 or Batman or Superman or whatever
Well, there is no Man of Steel 2. It's all going. It's Batman versus Superman and then Justice League.
All right, whatever that movie's
there's
called.
There's no. But that's one of the things about the announcement. There's no Man of Steel 2.
Yeah,
there's no Batman solo film.
And I heard that's because they're waiting to see how this one does.
Yeah,
they don't want to announce a sequel to something that's going to potentially. It won't bomb. Let's be honest. There's no way that movie's going to bomb.
You know what? Batman and Robin didn't bomb.
That's what I mean.
Batman movies don't bomb.
And they always make
money.
I
was shocked that Beware the Batman was canceled, because that's the first...
Yeah.
That's the first Batman show I could see that got pulled off the air not of its own will.
Right.
And you have to...
Oh, because then they announced like another show, and then our Fox or whoever was like, oh, let's cancel that Batman show then.
No. Gotham on, but the animated series... No, the animated series got canceled.
Because
kids aren't watching straight dark action shows on Cartoon Network.
They want comedy.
They want comedy, so Teen Titans Go is on every single day.
Yeah.
And the Batman's canceled. But Batman almost always sells.
Yeah.
You know what? Batman's in Teen Titans Go. They have Batman cameos all over that.
Right.
Robin's a main character. So, yeah, Batman vs. Superman won't bomb. It'll do... At worst, it'll do what Man of Steel will do. Everybody will see it opening weekend and say bad things about it.
Yeah.
And then it'll have made all its money opening weekend.
Oh, yeah, easily. And, you know, Dave was making a good point at the shop. Dave Redfield was saying that DC's hedging their bets with the Batman Superman movie, which isn't next year, it's the following year. And
they pushed it back. It was supposed to come out against...
Avengers?
Against Captain America 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then it got pushed back. And then I guess Justice League comes out like a year or so after that or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie Marvel picked to go up against Justice League, which should be DC's like big like Avengers-type movie, Marvel's putting Guardians of the Galaxy 2 up against it.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, because who the fuck would think that would happen, and that would be anywhere near a fair fight. But we know the sequel to Guardians, because Guardians was the highest-grossing movie this year. Now, unless The Hobbit does something crazy in the few days it'll have in the year, because it comes out like around Christmas, right?
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
So
it's totally, yeah, it's not going
to make it.
Most
of its money will be made in 2015, not 2014.
And you know what? People are fatigued by those two movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw...
It's not Lord of the Rings. I mean, people aren't excited.
I saw that one once in theaters.
The second?
The second Hobbit, because it was like, well, I saw
Hobbit already. I saw the first one twice in theaters.
Yeah, I've only seen the other Hobbit only once, too.
I've seen the first one twice in theaters. I've seen it maybe 2-3 times since I've had on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I've seen the second one once in the theater, and I saw 75% of it on Blu-ray because my whole family was watching it.
Because you have children.
Yeah, you know what? I had to make dinner, and I got up and left, and they watched it. So I don't think it'll do really well.
Yeah, but...
It's not going to bomb, but it's not going to be Guardians of the
Galaxy. And that's what I think. So it's safe to say Guardians is probably the highest grossing movie this year, and the second highest grossing movie of the year is Captain America. And, I mean, it just is kind of... It's awesome to see... I guess from my point of view, reading comics in like grade school and reading comics in high school, and at a time when it was still like, that's dumb or whatever idiots come up with to say in grade school and high school. And then now it's just like, oh, that dumb thing I was doing, we're all going to see those movies now, you jerk. Yeah.
Well, the great thing about it is these movies are good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't know anyone who didn't say that Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy weren't great. They were... They were quality films, and I'm always excited when a movie that's genuinely good does really well at the box office. I mean, there's so many movies that 2-3 years from now you see again and you're like, this is garbage. Why do people care about this?
Yeah, it's something I was talking about. I always use my roommate as an example because she doesn't read comics. She doesn't like comics, but she loves all these Marvel movies. And we were talking the other day because I told her like all these different movies that are coming out, and... I'm like, oh, and the sequel to Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out. She's like, oh, awesome. And she's like, that's such a funny movie because the trailer was awful. She hated the trailer. She thought it was terrible. And I loved the trailer. I thought it was great, but I eat all this shit up. So she's a good example of, like, the common man. And the only reason she went to the movie was because I kind of twisted her arm. And then she said, you know, the only reason that movie works is because it was so funny. It's like, that's why. She's like, they could have put anything in that movie. Talking tree, raccoon, whatever they wanted, because it was done very smart and it was very fun. And she says, that's the difference between that, and that's why she doesn't like the Batman movies, is because there's no humor in them. They take it so seriously. And you kind of have to with Batman, I think.
Yeah, you make it too fun, and it starts to become the Adam West show. And
that's you have to be really careful.
For Batman.
But I think it is something that it's nice to show all the Marvel movies pretty much across the board you can point to. They're funny. They're not comedies, but they have a lot of humor in them, and it kind of offsets this.
In the same way that Star Wars or Indiana Jones.
Yes, that same kind of
that,
like
that streak of humor throughout.
You know, it's the ideas are so crazy and so out there.
But the characters are down earth.
Right, but the characters are down earth, and you get grounded characters, and you put good actors in those roles, like Harrison Ford, and it makes it believable. It's like, all right, I get it. You know, we're fighting occult leaders who are ripping hearts out and brain damaging people, or whatever you'd call it. But it's fun, and I believe it, you know? And that's kind of like the suspension of disbelief you get with, you know, a little humor injected into movies that are otherwise completely absurd.
Right. And that's interesting what you brought up about your roommate, who's not a big comic fan but loves these movies. I was reading an article this week about how when you add up the people that see it, comic fans make up less than 10%. They said it's as little as 4% of the audience seeing these movies.
Really?
And, you know, as much as we're the vocal minority of like, oh, they better get Groot right, and oh, they better not, they better not have a yellow circle around Batman, and they, you know, look at the sales of comics compared to the box office receipts of a movie. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy probably sells 40,000 copies.
Yeah.
The movie made what, $500 million?
An obscene amount of money.
And the DVD is not out yet.
Yeah.
This is just box office.
The movie, and figure that movie will come out for Christmas.
So you think of that per capita.
Yeah.
Even judging a $3 comic versus a $10 movie ticket, millions of people went to see.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. 40,000 people are reading the book.
Right. And it'd be awesome if a million people were reading Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's not going
to
happen.
But it's not going to happen. And, you know, to some extent, Marvel knows that, but they are seeing a boost. And I know that because I'm seeing a boost. Because, you know, you can go and grab Fantastic Four, this new series that started, whenever it started.
That will end soon.
That it's going to end soon. I have all the way back to issue 2 on the shelf, and it's like 17 or 18 maybe on the shelf, maybe a little less.
Yeah, 14, I think. Something it like came that. Out this week. I just got it from you today.
But Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't have all the way back to
And you're one. Ordering it heavier.
And we're ordering it heavier, but it's like as soon as that movie came out, for weeks afterwards, and still to this day, somebody will come up I've never seen before in the shop, and they'll drop down 6 copies of all the different issues of Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's just like, and they buy them all. And it's just like, oh, this guy must have just saw it, or saw a rip of it, or Blu-ray, or something, or whatever. And people are coming to buy it. So the reverse, I think, is true.
And it's still playing in the second-run theater down the street from the shop.
Exactly. So and that's probably what's happening.
So how many people are coming directly from the movie?
Right.
And going, hey, there's a comic store up the street. I'm going to go get some
of these. Exactly. And that's what I think is that the reverse is true. Is about 4 to 10% or whatever that number is that comic fans contribute to the movies. That's how much non-comic fans contribute to the comic industry. So we are seeing a little return on it, I think. It's just not.
Yeah.
And obviously, it'd be nice if, like you said, 500 million people were seeing. Who are seeing Guardians of the Galaxy were buying comic books.
Yeah, it's not like that. You saw that, the only time you really saw that was when that 89 Tim Burton Batman came out.
Yeah, where people were flocking to go buy Dark Knight Returns and stuff.
Right, and Grant Morrison talks about that in Super Gods, was they made sure they had that his Arkham Asylum graphic novel out around the time of the movie, and people were buying Batman comics in droves where... You know, he was like in his early mid-20s. He took a year off, traveled the world, did a bunch of mushrooms on the royalty checks of that book.
Yeah. Oh, he made a fortune doing that.
Yeah, book. We don't live in that world anymore.
No. Yeah, and that's too. That was a little before the big boom in the 90s, right? So he was probably the early guy kind of benefiting.
And arguably, you could say that the Tim Burton Batman movie created the boom of the 90s.
Yeah.
Because people were buying Batman books left and right.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, look at what's going on with Spider-Man.
What
look
else
what's
is
going
happening?
On with X-Men.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's nice now, like you said, it's we're kind of in this, like, you know, you got to kind of wonder, all right, 20 movies between the two major studios in the next 5 years is a lot of movies. We're going to have about 3 or 4 movies a year for maybe forever, depending on how long this lasts. How long can this last?
Right.
Are they oversaturating the market? Is this too much, you know, for people to, like, digest? And
are they going to burn out?
Yeah. And I guess, like, you know, the one thing I could say to Marvel's credit is they're kind of anticipating people burning out on these movies, which is why Captain America seems more like a spy thriller than a superhero movie, and why they've said Ant-Man will be more like a heist movie than a superhero movie. And obviously, you'll get your superhero movies like Iron Man's pretty much only ever going to be a superhero movie. The Avengers are clearly a superhero movie. Thor's going to be more of like a Lord of the Rings epic battle, different world kind of thing. Doctor Strange, who knows what the fuck that's going to be.
Who knows what that's going
to
be.
I just think it's something where it's just like, you know, they need to figure out a way to keep these movies, people interested in these movies. And special effects are only going to go so far. You know, that's kind of why it's like, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man is a very entertaining thing to watch. Thank God, because how much more of him flying around in armor do you want to see? Now, I want to see that forever. But I'm not the people who are giving these studios $500 million when a movie gets made.
Right. Well, Marvel's doing a great job of trying to take what could be seen as a fad and trying to turn it into a genre.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You don't say that about horror movies.
Right.
Like, you know, it's Halloween today, so you and I have watched more horror movies probably in the last month than we've watched all year.
Yep.
Watched a few together.
Yep.
This month.
And I'm sure there's a few new ones out at the theaters right now.
Right. But neither one of us are ever saying, hey, when is the horror genre going to die? And there are times, and last year, when we did our horror month, Neil Fisher was in here talking about the booms, you know, the slasher boom of the 70s and 80s, and, you know, the big, giant lizard movies of the 50s. But nobody ever says the horror genre is going to die. Yeah. And I think because there's so many different things, because vampire movies are different than zombie movies, which are different than Godzilla movies, which are different than werewolf movies. And that's what Marvel's trying to do. It's like, is by doing a space Guardians of the Galaxy movie and doing a character modern piece of Iron Man and doing mythology with Thor. It's what I used to say about comics is every comic should be somebody's favorite.
Yeah. Every title is, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like they're doing that with the movies. And if they continue to be successful, and maybe 2020 is our deadline for this, where at that point, we'll be almost 20 years past. We will be 20 years past X-Men 1.
Yeah, because that's 2000, right?
Yeah, 2020. We'll be 18 years past Spider-Man, which people see as the moment it really exploded.
Yeah, and I really think it's important to remember that and to look back and think, and if you watch that first Spider-Man, it's good, but it's not great.
No, it doesn't hold up as well as, say, Batman Begins.
Yeah, and I think that's important to remember, too, is just like, you know, it is a field where they're figuring out how to do things better, do things smarter, or they actually have better effects or whatever. And I hope it's obviously a fad that doesn't burn out, because, I mean, when they announced this, I feel a great deal of comfort personally because I'll have a job until then. Because every time these movies come out, it's like, oh, Guardians comes out, and then I can order 10 trades of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 by Bendis, and I can sell 10 trades of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 by Bendis. Normally, without that movie, I order one of those and then just reorder it when it sells out. Now I have to get 10. Just to feed the masses? That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
It's a great time to be a comic book fan, no matter which way you look at it.
And, you know, I was going to save this for Greatest Thing in the World, but I think we're in a natural segue. They're also, look at what's happening on television.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to have one superhero show. We've always had one superhero show. It's nothing new. We had The Adventures of Superman in the 50s with George Reeves in black and white. But we would have one show a decade. And
you had Wonder Woman, you had Batman.
Yeah, Batman in the 60s, Wonder Woman in the 70s.
Not to mention all the different Hulk cartoons at the time.
Hulk in the early 80s.
Yep.
Flash in 1990, Lois and Clark in the mid 90s.
Yep. Smallville.
Smallville in the 2000s. We've always had one. Now,
It's as many as the movies. We were counting the other day, and it's almost like 15 or 18 different shows.
It's incredible.
Supergirl's been announced. They're casting now.
Teen Titans
is announced. Yep. It's just like all the different Marvel Netflix shows that are coming out. It's like
four Marvel Netflix shows. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is switching with Agent Carter.
Right. Constantine. So Flash. Yeah, iZombie.
Yep. Arrow.
Oh, and there was a
Batman. And, of course, Walking Dead.
Yep, Walking Dead. And, you know, I'll credit Walking Dead with really kind of blowing out the doors, because every other comic book show that came before Walking Dead always kind of fit in the same category of like Freak of the Week, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, Smallville was very much
Smallville
that.
Set the precedent for, but Walking Dead was, it's rated R, I think, right?
There's no R, it's TV-14.
All right, so TV-14, so it's got a mature
basically
rating.
R, yeah.
And it's an indie property, which allows other studios to be like, what else is out there that's adaptable? And iZombie gets made, or they're working on it, or whatever.
Right.
And then,
now it's coming.
Right. And then, you know, DC capitalizes on 10 years of Smallville and says, all right, let's do a Green Arrow, because it's cheaper to do that than superhero powers.
And we had a Green Arrow character on for 5 years who was popular.
Yep. So, you know, they run with that show. You know,
And then let's spin off Flash, which is great.
And it's like, you know, it's actually a really sweet idea if DC can keep doing it. Right. You know, if Green Arrow spins off a Flash show should spin off, like, an Atom show. And an Atom show should spin off a Hawkman show. And just every show should just try to spin off another show, you know, to as much as makes sense. And I guess that's the worry about, that's what'll kill the boom, if you want to call it, is too many stinkers coming along.
Exactly. As long as it's quality.
Yeah.
And it's a little different. And by being different, I'm almost reversing my opinion on DC keeping everything separate, you know?
Well,
in the one way, whereas I don't like Arrow. I'm just gonna live with the fact that I don't like Arrow. I kind of like Flash because it's the Flash. But it's still kind of like Arrow, which was kind of like Smallville, which is this this package of DC that I don't necessarily like.
Yeah, it's, now they're mainstreaming their stuff.
Gotham is very different from that. I feel the same way about Gotham that I feel about Flash. Of like, don't really like it, but I can see a lot of potential. And honestly, I don't want to binge watch it 3 years from now on Netflix.
Right.
When people say it's the best show on. However, this week, and this was going to be my greatest thing in the world, this week Constantine premiered, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, that's the resounding opinion at the comic book store, is that Constantine is awesome.
And it is nothing like Arrow or Flash or Gotham. It is its own thing, and I feel like if you tried...
It's got a different network, right?
It's on NBC, yeah.
Maybe that's why.
If they tried to make it fit with Gotham or fit with Arrow or Flash, I feel like they would dilute what it's doing.
Yeah.
And it's... It wasn't a massive hit, but it came on against the goddamn World Series, and it did fine.
Yeah,
so it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And as you said, I haven't really talked to people about it. I've only really talked to one person who saw it.
Yeah.
But I've recommended it to people.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hearing. Like I said, it's like Flash. It's pretty much what you've mentioned is what I'm getting is the people who kind of like it. They got a couple complaints. They say it's not great, but it's good. Gotham, I get a little bit of the same. Oh, it started out okay, and you know, it's getting a little bit better. But Constantine is just overwhelmingly, oh no, that was a great first episode. What a way to just knock it out of the park.
And I tell you, they knew what they were doing. They went for the tone. They went for this tone that I love. They really went for this kind of Hellboy tone.
Yeah.
Which we're talking about is one of my favorite movies. And mixed in like a little bit of Evil Dead. The demons in the first episode were very Evil Dead.
Yeah.
There's like a little bit of that, you know, that world-weary Men in Black, again, Hellboy feel. It's got a great mix. The guy, Matt Ryan, who plays Constantine, nails it. You could see this guy doing this part for the next 7 seasons.
Yeah.
Did you see the Keanu Reeves version?
No, because because it had Keanu Reeves in it.
Yeah, it came on FX one day, and I was home, so I watched it. It wasn't horrible. But it was so forgettable, I can't tell you anything that happened in it. And I was reading articles about the pilot of Constantine, and they were mentioning the movie in it. And they were like, oh, this one character that appeals in the pilot is from the comics, and Shia LaBeouf played him in the movie. And I'm like, I don't remember Shia LaBeouf being in the movie.
Yeah.
It was like that forgettable. Wow. And this is not following that at all. And this was a character... I'm not a fan of Constantine. I never read an issue of Hellblazer until this week after I saw the pilot.
Yeah.
I knew who the character was from reading Swamp Thing and from knowing the DC universe. I liked the character. I thought he was an interesting character. He appears in one of the early Sandman issues. But I was never a fan. But I saw what they were going for, and I was like, that's a show I want to do. And they knocked it right out of the park. And not only is it my favorite new comic show, it's been my favorite new show of the season.
Yeah.
If they're going to get that kind of result instead of where Marvel is, everything's kind of the same, which is working really well for the movies, but, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not that great a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, Agent Carter, I'm sure, will be better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but still kind of in the same tone.
Right. Yeah.
DC can't do that, but if DC can create something as great as Constantine by keeping them all separate... Maybe they should.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say earlier, is it seems, and this is just a rumor, this isn't like confirmed or anything, so don't all y'all lose your minds. Geoff Johns had done like an interview with somebody about the separation of the TV show and the movies, and he gave like a coy answer, and I can't remember what it was.
It was like, he was like, well, we really trust our showrunners to create their own vision, and we don't want to hem them down, which... It was the opposite we've heard from Marvel. People like Edgar Wright walking off, Jon Favreau not wanting to come back.
Yeah.
You know, Joss Whedon's done after this second thing.
Because, he's done after the second Avengers, that's confirmed?
Yeah, because they don't get their vision. Yeah. They're doing Kevin Feige's vision.
Yeah, and, you know, it's much more team-oriented over there, so it's like you kind of got to play ball with what the rest of the guys are doing, which, you know, is complicated, I'm sure. But the big rumor now is that because they're separate... is that DC is going to try to do some kind of crisis. And set up like an Infinite Crisis movie where all the different continuities kind of come together, and you could be like, oh, you're Green Arrow on the show. Here's Green Arrow from Smallville, and here's Green Arrow from the movie.
Well, they mentioned Crisis in the pilot of The Flash.
What do they say?
At the very end of the pilot of The Flash, the character that looks like there is going to be the behind-the-scenes villain gets news from the future. And it's like the page of an article. I can't remember if it's on screen or if it's a newspaper. That like Flash was killed fighting shadowy characters.
Okay.
Which is Crisis.
Right.
So
they must be doing it in the Flash show.
Yeah. Yeah, but if they are building to it, that sounds like could be a fan rumor to me, maybe fueled by that.
Yeah, it definitely seems fan rumorish, which is why I don't like to put a lot of stock in this stuff.
But again, why pick two different Flashes at the same time? Because it takes...
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
Yeah, you know, it takes a long time to find an actor, so the guy they have for the Flash, they didn't just find him.
Right.
You know? Why not just try to make the best version you can?
Yeah, like I said, it's a move I'll never really understand because, you know, Marvel's going on... I mean, they're going to set some kind of record at some point, you figure, for how much continuity they're building on these movies.
Yeah, nobody's ever done anything like this.
I mean,
this
even
in
the James
Bond
movies only do this for as long as Bond is the same guy.
Yeah, Bond's like Batman. They reboot. And right. You know what? Even the Bond movies in between themselves, they don't have a ton of continuity.
Right.
There's a couple that are sequels to the one before, but it's not like they... It's not like they world build.
Right. And I think the amount of world building in, you know, these Avengers films and, you know, these Marvel films in general is, it's everything. It's like every movie's leading into the next or talking about it somehow or mentioning it. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of out there on their own right now.
But it's as we said, do you disagree with me that they'll be part of the Infinity War?
No, I guess my thoughts, you know, we talked about this on the show, is that the Infinity Gauntlet fight will be the Avengers, the Guardians of the Galaxy, possibly the Defenders, maybe Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange.
Well, so there were no plans to bring in the Netflix shows yet.
Yeah, but. And that's the other thing, and this is something to look at for Marvel. They're making a lot of money doing these movies. A stupid amount of money.
Like billions.
Yes. The problem is they're running out of time to release these movies. Like, all right, so this whole phase, all these other movies, at some point, if Ant-Man does well, they're going to want to do a sequel to Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and keep making Thor movies and keep making Captain America movies and Guardians of the Galaxy movies and Black Panther movies and sequels to Avengers. When are all these movies going to come out? I mean, figure...
Well, and that's exactly why they announced, here's what we're doing for the next 5 years.
Right.
After that, who knows? But the way Marvel's doing it, their continuity is so tight that they're not... When I look at my Blu-ray shelf, I don't have Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, because that doesn't make sense.
Right.
I have Iron Man, then Hulk, then Captain America, then Thor, then Avengers, then Iron Man 2, then Avengers, then I have Iron Man 3 and Cap 2, because... We're not really getting a Cap 2, a Cap 3, a Thor 2, a Thor 3. We're getting the next chapter of Marvel.
Yeah.
Every 6 months or so. And we're focusing on a different character each time. But we're always getting the next chapter of Marvel.
And they're always kind of building up to all this.
Right. And what they're really running out of time is their actors aging out. Robert Downey... can make a lot of money not making Marvel movies now. Robert Downey can make a ton of money making another Sherlock Holmes film.
Yeah.
Or doing something else. He doesn't need Marvel, and he's the oldest one of that cast.
And the most expensive.
Right, and he's the most expensive. So what they're doing is deliberate of, like, let's build up the Black Panther, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, the Vision, and you know what? We can rotate the big three out. We can rotate Iron Man, Cap, and Thor and have them not be in the Avengers anymore.
Yes.
And have them not be in movies anymore. And
one of the things I like the most about Avengers is, you know, Fantastic Four really rarely ever works without the four characters.
Right.
And anytime they do, it's very stuntish and it goes back. Avengers...
Yeah, it's all about the loss of the person.
Yeah. Avengers isn't like
that. It's not
there. The team changes all the time, and it's been changing all the time since the beginning. I mean, they were in a little over a year before they changed up the entire lineup, and it was Cap and a bunch of guys no one liked.
Yeah, Hawkeye and Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
And then it became something everyone did like, and then they changed it again and again. It's a constant rotating membership, so there's nothing that says Cap, Iron Man, or Thor even have to be on the team.
Yeah, that's different than even the X-Men, where the X-Men have had lots and lots of members, but they're mainstays. If you don't have Wolverine in the X-Men,
right,
there's a big Wolverine-shaped hole in the X-Men.
Yes.
You know, you could say that about Cyclops.
Yeah.
When Cyclops was in X-Factor, there was something wrong with that team until they brought him back.
And that's something, too, where it's like in the movies, we have yet to see that happen, and Fox doesn't look like they're ever going to make an X-Men movie without Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Because they haven't yet.
Right.
But I think Marvel's preparing themselves, like you said. They know they can't keep Robert Downey Jr. out forever. They know Chris Evans wants to retire and wants to direct and not star in movies anymore. So they're preparing themselves for, like, all right, if they're going to drop, we need to get somebody else in there. All right, cast two young characters as Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Cast a young dude as the Black Panther. Cast a up-and-coming guy as Doctor Strange. And get a new group of Avengers together so that they won't run into this problem 5 years from now. You know, or 10 years from now.
What movie are you most looking forward to?
Avengers. It's Age of Ultron. Because it's this, they say it's a linchpin movie. It's supposed to set up what's coming. It's going to set up Civil War. It'll possibly introduce the Black Panther. It's going to be the first movie that's going to put all these guys back together again since Avengers, where we'll get scenes of them actually hanging out like they know each other and have hung out before. It's fucking Avengers, man. It's this the dream.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
Alright, my favorite thing in the world this week is the Avengers trailer, but because we already talked about that, I'll go with the other thing that happened this week is not much. But I watched John Carter, which came out like maybe 2 or 3 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you how I watched it, it's just important that I did watch it. And it's not bad. It's actually pretty good for a movie that kind of got swept under the rug that year. And had it been
this week,
had it gotten a fair shake, I think, in the theaters, that actually could have been like a series of movies. And I don't know which Disney put it out.
Yeah, Disney put it out.
And if Disney wasn't making movies like Avengers and all these other films or have that kind of under their umbrella, this would have been a really good trilogy. For them to, you know, these studios are always looking for, like, the next Lord of the Rings or something. Something to stay in theaters for 3 years or 4 years in a row or 7 years, like Harry Potter or whatever. This could have been perfect. And that first movie, there's a lot going on in it. Could have and probably should have been 2 or 3 films on its own.
Yeah, I got a little lost. I think it was...
Did you see it?
Yeah, I think it was on Netflix for a while.
Really? Because I remember, looked at it and find it.
I remember... Oh, you know what? Or it might have been... I think it was on Stars. I put on the DVR.
Or something?
Yeah, I put on my DVR, and I got about a half an hour into it, and I got so lost, I just stopped. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, well, this was a huge bomb, and I can't follow it, so...
They introduced a lot of concepts, and I had a hard time keeping up with it, and the copy I had of the film, I'm not sure if it came with subtitles, or if the aliens were supposed to be speaking in English, and you just weren't supposed to understand them or something. Anyway, there's a scene in the movie where the aliens, for a great deal, are talking in alien language, and you can't tell what they're saying. So if there were subtitles that told you what they're saying, I did not have those on the device I was watching this on. So I might have to rethink what I was doing there. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. The effects are great. And it wasn't a terrible story. It was actually pretty good, albeit if not a little bit confusing. Because I was a little lost myself. I had to kind of check some stuff. But yeah, I would say it was actually pretty decent. And what stinks about it, I guess this is the point I was trying to make, is what stinks about this is I will not get a sequel to this movie. And they will remake John Carter eventually, because they're going to... Hollywood has no ideas.
They'll remake everything eventually.
Right, they'll remaking everything. They clearly have no ideas. I guess it just sucks that I'll have to wait to actually get more stories like this. You're going to have to wait 10 years, probably 5 years, 8 years, something like that, probably. And that just sucks, because I think it is a good character, it is a good story, much like Lone Ranger, which I didn't see, but the comic was done so well that came out. I can't remember who was doing it. The ones John Cassaday was doing the covers for was phenomenal, was awesome. And that really stinks, because they blew up that movie. Disney's not going to try to remake that for another 10 years. So it's like, all right, well, that'll come up eventually, but it's going to be a while. And it's something that could have been, you know, like you said, you turn these movies into like a trilogy or get a couple sequels out of them. It's like, it's doable. You just got to stop being such a bunch of knuckleheads about it.
Right. I'm going to go with, I was going to go with Constantine because I really want to talk about how much I love that pilot. But
We did.
In fact, we're doing this since it's Halloween. I'm getting looking very forward to watching this after we finish this up. I'm going to go with Walking Dead, both the comic and the new season. Right now, we are at episode 3 of the new season, and I know you're a couple of seasons behind.
Yeah, I stopped in season 2. I finished season 2, but then gave up.
It's worth pushing through. This season's been super intense.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of things I didn't expect, especially after coming out of season 2 where things took so long. Every time they introduced a character or situation, I go, well, here's the whole season. And then zombies eat them.
That's awesome.
Then I'm just like, well, we're in episode 3. Now what the hell are you
doing?
What
else is going to happen?
Yeah. It's been so crazily intense. I will say the season premiere, I will be spoiler free. Well, for you and anybody who's not
watching.
Well,
I heard the bit I liked. Like I said, my roommates are watching.
Yeah, spoiler free as well because we are recording.
Yeah, I won't be spoilers, but I guess the first episode, there's some concerns at the end of last season about Rick and all this other stuff. And I guess this first episode, they're just like, nope, he's good. He's going to take care of stuff.
There were people so reprehensible in the first episode of this season that for the first time in watching the show, I was happy to watch zombies eat these people.
Yeah.
I was like, good. And I believe I said, like, there was one, it was like really gory and gross, and Renee was shocked, and I went, good, fuck those
fuck
people.
Fuck that guy, yeah.
I really been enjoying it, and I'm gonna kind of go back on what I've been saying about the comic. I got the...
Are you still reading?
I've been getting the hardcover, so I read it.
Oh, okay.
I read it once a year.
Once a year you read it.
And it takes me about an hour to get through 12 issues. It's a very fast read. They do a lot of splash
pages.
Walking Dead's
always a quick read.
Yeah.
And they're very, I read it monthly, and every issue ends with like a splash page now. Every issue. So
you can kind of see, in the hardcovers, they take the covers out. It's not one of those where they show you.
Right, so it seems like one
They put
long,
all the covers in the back.
Perfect.
Yeah, but you can kind of see where the issue breaks were. But I will say there's... It seems like, and you're probably ahead of me if you're reading it monthly.
Yeah.
This new book ends at issue 120.
All right. So is that the All Out War story?
Yeah. I think it just finished All Out War. But I will say it breaks the pattern that they were doing.
Finally,
we moved to a new society. We talked about this on another show. They don't trust Rick. And like one guy tries to attack him and he dies. And then Rick takes over and everything's going well. But then internally it falls apart. And then the zombies get in. This isn't doing that. There's a lot of new characters. It's been a year since I've read it, and there are so few characters that are on the show now.
Yeah.
Because most of the characters that are based on people in the comic are now dead.
Yeah.
There's very, very – and a lot of the people that have survived the comics died on the show.
Yep.
And
I think that's always
– I want to say Rick, Carl, and Michonne are all we've got that are in both.
Yes. And I think it's something where, you know, I won't spoil what's happening now in the comic because it's almost not quite a year after all that All Out War stuff, but it's been several issues since then.
Has it maintained?
Yeah, it has been good. Okay. Where it's just I'll let you know when we get to the 6-issue mark after that to let you know if it's following the same formula still. But what I like about the comic and what I liked about the show, and this is what, you know, we tell people at the store who come in looking for it, is it's different. Buying the comic isn't just like, oh, am I just going to read the episodes? No, because they're totally different. And for anyone listening who's watched the show but not read the comic, to give you an example, Daryl, the guy with the crossbow that everyone loves, he's not in the comic at all.
Nope. They created him for the show, and they've never brought him into the comic.
And they've done teases of that they'll bring him into the comic, like All Red did art of, or not All Red.
Adlard.
Did art of how he would draw him if he was in the comic, and they did this big teaser poster for the convention just to fuck with people. But then, like, all the stuff in the first season with the CDC, they didn't do it all in the comic, so it's enough.
Herschel's farm was a lot shorter in the comic.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are a lot different, and so it makes both that much better, where it's similar stories, similar characters,
right.
But what happens,
and I feel like
know,
this All Out War story, and as I said, you've read past, I feel like it's a story they can't afford to do on the show. It's too big.
Yeah.
It's becoming an epic scope. Well, you know,
I think that's what they're trying
to do.
There's
hundreds of characters, and there's like large communities that they're going in between. It's not
Yeah.
It's not Rick Rick and his group in a community and they don't know what else is around.
Yeah, this
they're in a situation where they know who's in the next community and they know who's in the next community and they travel back and forth.
Right.
I mean, it's movie scope. Walking Dead's really popular and they have the money to do things. I still don't think they could do this arc.
No, because I think a lot of the budget in Walking Dead, they said, is all in the zombie makeup, which I guess when you do that many, it gets expensive.
Right.
But yeah, the comic, I would say it's a larger in scope because they're you know, it's over 100 issues. They've got to kind of figure out different ways to tell this story. And this is in the comic now, the story you're talking about is it's the largest scale society we've seen since The Walking Dead started.
And I've always worried with Robert Kirkman doing both.
Yes.
Was that he would spread himself too thin, and we've talked a lot about how Geoff Johns is
clearly spreading himself.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote this week's episode of Flash, which I really liked. It introduced Captain Cold. But he did that and wrote three issues and is helping run the company. And it's like, he's not writing at the strength he was when he was doing Green Lantern, Sinestro Corps War.
Yeah.
But, so I really thought, okay, the comic's just going to get more and more watered down. And I've said it on the show because you have a TV show that 15 million people watch every week.
Yeah.
You have a comic book that 100,000 people buy. What's going to get your attention?
Yeah.
But the fact that he's really going a different path with this, it gets me excited about the book again. And I have to say, I've been reading the book, or at least the hardcover, once a year. I haven't been excited in the last two or three years because this hardcover came out in September. And I didn't get around to it now, and honestly, I got it because I was buying some other things from Amazon, and yep. I was like, "Now throw it in."
Throw it in, yeah. And you know what you probably got around to it because it's zombies, it's Halloween, you bought that in July.
And I'm enjoying the show right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's something, and what is unfortunate with these creators, and you know, like you said, you see it time and time again with like Geoff Johns and stuff like this, they know where they make more money. You know, it's the same thing with the artists. You know, there's a reason why John Cassaday isn't doing interiors anymore, because he's probably designing fucking video games or something and making a fortune doing that, or doing advertising. You know, there's a lot more money for these guys to be made outside of comics, which is why the comics will be the first thing to suffer.
My favorite quote Joss Whedon never said was when he was doing Astonishing X-Men, and this is obviously before Avengers, and I think it's even before Dollhouse.
Like he wasn't
doing anything. Like Buffy and Angel were done, Firefly was done, and he was just doing comics. And they asked him, "Do you think you'll?" It sounds ridiculous now, but do you think you'll ever retire from television and movies and only become a comic writer?
Yeah.
And Joss Whedon said, "Well," he goes, "my wife sees my paychecks from Marvel and she laughs and laughs and laughs."
Yep. And it's just like they're paying you as much as they can afford, but it's a print. Media.
It's a print media that not a lot of people are buying.
Yeah, I don't think it's not dying. No. I don't want to be the, it's all coming down, because it's clearly not. But it's clearly not doing, they're never going to make as much money doing comics as they could do making movies or film.
And
or
they never did, even at comics height.
Yeah.
Even when the Image guys were making $1 million, they were really wanting to get movies made.
Yeah, they all wanted to jump into the movie business.
Yeah. Well, as always, you can follow me at Not In My Book. Good to talk to people, a lot of people. I've had some really exciting people follow me, people that I've admired and been following for a while.
That's awesome.
So, it's great. Our Facebook page is humming along.
We put all the Avengers trailers on the Facebook.
So many Avengers trailers, and then just crazy things that Tina likes.
Yeah.
That's what the page is for. And Steven?
I'm at 19 South LaGrange Road, LaGrange, Illinois, Camaras Comics.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that!